Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we fall short at, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight as we go through this meeting, that everything we do be in the betterment of our county. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Going to do CPA for a little bit from the agenda. John's going to do the presentations.
Okay, everyone. This is Mr. AJ Yarrow.
We had a safety dinner on December the 19th, and this gentleman here got choked up, and Mr. AJ took a leap of faith and done the Heimlich maneuver on him and saved him. We're here to assist him. We're here to present this plaque to you, Mr. AJ. It's presented to AJ Yarrow in recognition and appreciation for your quick action, holding a life save on December 19th, 2024, during the POCC safety luncheon.
Thank you very much. Hey, Jack. Thank you, bud.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you. Everybody, bud. Thank you again, AJ.
Thank you.
I need approval of the minute.
Motion.
Motion by David.
Daniel.
Second by Daniel. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same side. Motion carried. The motion for the vouchers.
Motion.
Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Constitutional officers here would like to speak. At this time, we're going to move on, change up a little bit, because we've got a lot of people here pertaining to what Leon's got to say about Gina and stuff. We'll go ahead and bring him up, and let's go ahead and get that over with and get it out of the way.
Before we get started, we won't swear anybody.
The first two ordinances that you're going to be hearing about, we had third party review.
Ladies and gentlemen, I anticipate some of y'all will want to speak. So what we're going to do is we're just going to do a mass swearing. If you're in the courtroom, you kind of stand in the courtroom, the judge, if any of y'all is going to speak, raise your right hand. So if you'll do so. We're telling nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
All right, y'all get sworn in.
Good evening, Chair, other members of the Commission. My name is Brandon Stokes. I'm the planner for Four Quarter Professional Services, and I have the pleasure of reviewing this application for amendment to the future land use map, the comprehensive plan, and the official zoning atlas of the land development regulations. The applications before you tonight, I won't go through them both concurrently, even though they're two separate applications or companion applications, so it's just a lot easier to go through them together, and then we can have the reading of the ordinances individually and take them into resolutions. But the applications before you are 24001, that's 24001 and 24002. The application to amend the future land use map, the comprehensive plan, by amending the future land use map from commercial and residential moderate density to residential medium density, and a request for a site-specific amendment to the official zoning atlas or rezoning for the land development regulations for commercial general, residential single-family mobile home 1 to a planned residential development. This is an application by Kathy Eatball, AICP, with JB Pro. The property owner is Steen Hatchie River Club, LLC, and the Yellowfin Group, LLC. Due to the location of where this property is at, it's north of Highway 358. It's also north of some single-family residential, some conservation lands to the south of that. It's also on the south side of 358 in the Steen Hatchie River. Again, there's some conservation lands to the south. To the east, you have some single-family residential, as well as Southwest 838 Street, and some single-family residential. The total property is approximately 13.26 acres. To give you an idea, currently there's about 0.56 acres of commercial. The remaining 12.7 acres is residential medium density. And this land use would unify the property, the whole 13.26, as a residential medium density. Again, 0.56 acres is zoned commercial general, and 12.7 acres is residential single family mobile home one, and it will unify the property under a plan unit, a residential development of 13.26 acres. The commercial and future land use that district allows for various commercial uses, including retail sales, rental distribution products, as well as like public charter private elementary schools and other general commercial uses. Allows it at a floor area ratio of 0.25. The residential moderate density allows residential development up to or equal to 4 dwelling units per acre. The proposed land use is the medium density, which allows for residential development up to 8 dwelling units. Mm-hmm. Again, the commercial general zoning would allow for general retail services, service establishments, and that kind of stuff. The residential single-family mobile home one allows for single-family dwellings, mobile homes, and those types of uses. The PRD allows for a variety of uses, including multifamily, single-family, townhomes, condo units. That, but what a PRD allows for is the clustering of those dwellings. So, while you, with strip zoning, you have minimum lot standards. With a PRD, you can take that property and cluster those units within smaller lots, or provide for like condo units or townhome units. To give you a little bit of the surrounding land use and zoning, to the south of the property you have conservation lands or CSV. To the east of the subject property you have some more residential moderate density and some commercial uses. To the west of the property, you have some residential moderate density and commercial uses as well. Again, the proposed is for medium density with a planned residential development zoning. Should the land use be approved and the zoning be approved, it would be consistent with the comprehensive plan. Go through the environmental conditions assessment. According to the National Wetlands Inventory, there are wetlands located on the subject property, as to be expected. It is adjacent to the Steen Hatchie River.
Please try again.
But for you, Brent? When I talk to you?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. But as far as wetlands go, wetlands are protected, so any wetlands would have to be protected, as well as there's a requirement within your land development regulations that requires that any wetlands has a 35-foot wetland setback buffer. This means that development would be able to take place within 35 foot of any wetlands. The soil survey, there was 4 different types of soils. Most of them nearly level, some were excessively drained, somewhat were poorly drained, is what you would expect in a wetland situation. But overall, There's not really too much concern with engineering with these soils. The retention pond, everything with the proposed development would have to take in those soil pipes and they would have to design the retention to meet any of the water quality standards, retention standards for the water management district. This property is located within two different areas of a flood zone. The portion of it in a flood zone AE, which is a 100-year flood or an 81% chance of flood. Any development that would take place within the AE zone would have to meet the minimum base flood, 1 foot above the base flood elevation or minimum floor elevation for that area. So that comes through the building side and through the building permit. There is a part that's what's known as shaded X. This is an area of minimal flooding. It's like an annual, what they kind of call a 500-year flood, but it's a basically annual 0.2% chance of flood. And typically, those areas don't get, it gets minimal flooding, like less than a foot. So as far as flood potential, yeah, there's always flood potential along the river. Design criteria through your land development regulations and building codes mitigate for those flood potentials. The subject property is not located with any kind of stream to sink area. The minerals on site are typically limestone, which is indicative of North Florida. As far as historic resources, there are no historic resources located on the site. The property is not in a high arc for recharge area. You'd think being on the river it would be, but it's actually the opposite. So with the river, all that water goes directly to the river and doesn't go into an arc per se. So it's not in a high recharge area. no vegetative communities. So that concludes my environmental assessment. Public facilities. The angle of your development would create additional impacts, however, with the portion being commercial and the residential, when you look at the impacts that would happen between the two of them, it's actually greater than what's being proposed. So as far as development impacts, it's actually a net reduction in impacts for transportation. While you still have a lot of trips from the proposed use, it'd be less than what would be allowed under the current conditions. And that goes for potable water, sanitary sewer, and solid waste as well. There's no real negative impacts of recreation and public school facilities. Before they could obtain a permit for the development, they would have to get a letter from the school board that says that they have ample capacity to serve the project. So they wouldn't be able to commit without that letter from the school board. And that concludes my presentation. If the board has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them at this time.
On the impact as far as water and sewer is concerned, is there availability of water and sewer? Just that substantial fire hydrants and all the other stuff.
Yes, sir. So the way that works is there capacity? Yes. Does that mean that there's line capacity? That's a whole different issue. And that would be an issue that the development would have to address. So as part of the development process, they would have to be able to meet what's called the NFPA and the ISO fire ratings for the development. And even the residential portion, single family, which means that they would have to have Florida Building Code required minimal flows for residents. The NFPA and ISO require minimal flows for the development. So there's two different standards. One's coming from the building side, the other's coming from the site design side. So if they develop this, they're going to have to submit ISO calculations that show what they have out there can support the ISO flows. Now, there are different ways to do that, but ultimately, it would be hard to get upgrading the lines or doing something to address the capacity or the flows, because, for instance, if ISO said maybe 1,500 gallons a minute at 20 PSI, and there's only 500 gallons per minute coming out of the hydrant, well, then they got to figure out how are they going to get that additional 1,000 gallons per minute of flow, which, you know, like I said, there's different ways to tackle that, but, you know, one of the ways would be going back through and upgrading those lines to be able to service that kind of capacity. So some of that stuff is kind of preliminary. We don't really look at line capacity at this point because we're on concerned about plant capacity. But once you get down to the nitty gritty with the development, when they submit for the development, the final class, the final development orders, they will have to provide how they're going to handle upgrading whatever systems they need to upgrade to serve this capacity.
Has there been any surveys done in respect to required turn lanes to enter and egress this property if this many homes is going in on that road? I mean, it's congested at times now. Depends on when you do a survey. If you do it during the week, you're off the bunch. But if you do it a week weekend, you're going to get a totally different aspect of traffic on that road.
Yeah, and again, this is what they call a turn plan level analysis. You don't require, or typically require, traffic studies at this point, but once they come in for, like, the development order to actually build or plan this out, they're going to have to come back with a traffic analysis that says that if you're generating this many trips, these improvements will be required. I can't say one way or the other what that traffic report might say. It may say nothing's required. It may say diesel and cell lanes. It may say turn lanes are required. But until we get to that point, we won't know.
Well, it's going to be hard for me to sit on this board and approve something not knowing whether the county's going to have to offset that bill, or are they going to put in up the sewer and the water? We need all the infrastructure we can get. We need businesses. We need, but we've got to rebuild. We're just sitting on nothing. But we also don't want to cost the county money to have to go in and put in water lines and sewer lines and turn lanes and stuff that's going to offset what good it brings to the county. So, I mean, those answers for me are going to be answered prior to
David's district, if you want to make a motion, or Leon, you got.
I don't want to take any more statements or anything before you do.
And I would like to actually, because this is a quasi-judicial proceeding, the applicant has the ability to speak before the public.
Okay.
State your name for the record, please.
I'm Erin Merton. I'm a planner with JB Pro. Project, and it is my pleasure to present these two applications to you. There are two, as Mr. Stubbs pointed out, the first of which is 240001, which is a comprehensive plan amendment. The companion case being 240002 is the accompanying zoning change. And just a little bit deeper dive into that, we're seeking under the comprehensive plan amendment to amend the future land use map for approximately 13.26 acres from residential moderate density and commercial to residential medium density for the whole site. The second of the two applications being the zoning atlas classification change, changing the zoning atlas classification for the entire site from a mixture of residential single-family, Mobile Home 1, and Commercial General to all the site-wide planned residential development. And just to give you a little bit of history of the project, we submitted our development order application. We've been to the local planning agency. We've got their approval recommendation for you. It was a 4-1 vote on both applications. That was on February 13th, and we're here before you tonight, February 20th, for your decision. So the Isles at River's Edge project is located along Highway 358, which is this artery road right here, in Gina, and it's at Southwest 838th Street. To the north of the project is the Steinhatchee River, and then to the south we've got conservation land. Currently on the site, you've got some uses already in progress. You've got an RV park, you've got a campground, you've got a boat ramp, and you've got a public marina with boat rentals. Here's some photos of the site so that you can take a look and turn it. Get those bigger so that everybody can see. Top left is going to be the north view. Top right would be the south view. Looking west down 358. And then looking east. We've put together some visuals for you. The site as it exists today for the comprehensive plan, future land use. You've got portions of the property that are commercial, and then you've got a portion that's residential moderate density. The maximum permitted dwelling units under the 4 dwelling units per acre which exists today would be 50 units that could come in and by right develop today. We would be asking for, and what we're proposing under our applications, is to eliminate the commercial potential there and reserve it only for single family. And we would be asking for 8 dwelling units per acre. The maximum dwelling units under the 8 dwelling units per acre is 106 units. For the zoning map, now you can see that this site is also divided as to the zoning classification. Right now, it's currently a mixture of commercial general, single family, mobile home one, and at 4 dwelling units per acre. The zoning classification we're proposing is to eliminate the commercial potential, unify the whole site under single family home potential at 8 dwelling units per acre, site-wide. Compatibility with the surrounding uses. So you've now seen your comprehensive plan, future land use map. You've seen your zoning map. This map is developed from the property appraiser site. So that uses property use codes, and it tells you what's actually there. To the north, of course, is Steinhatchee River, Taylor County. To the south is conservation. To the east, you've got commercial intensive, and you've got residential single family mobile home one, which is single family home, vacant commercial, vacant residential. You've got single family homes to the west. And as Mr. Stubbs pointed out, if you were to approve these applications, it would be consistent with your comprehensive plan. This site is located within your urban growth boundary, which means this is within the bounds of where you've designated for development, just like this. It's compatible with the nearby residential character of the area, and it preserves it to be that way. The housing, it adds to your stock of housing, gives you a little bit more diverse options. And it makes the residential uses there more permanent as opposed to what's there right now, which is transient in nature. And then recreation, it reserves the uses that are on site. Right now, it's open to the public. This would close that to the public, and it would only be used by the residences that live there or the guests, which reduces the potential impact on those environmental features that surround it. Transportation, there's no adverse impact to the adopted level of service standards. And again, we're here before you seeking those development orders. Within 12 months of an approval, we'd have to submit those plans, site plans, for further review with your department, and we'd have to meet your thresholds further and get approval from you again. So by eliminating the commercial component of what's there already, we've reduced the trip generation potential on the traffic. For public facilities and infrastructure, as Mr. Stubbs pointed out, after build out, we would still be within the acceptable levels of demand generated by this project. And we would be working with the public schools to receive that letter before we would be able to get approval anyway. And we don't anticipate any negative impacts on the schools. Here is the concept plan that we submitted. It is one option. It would be developed into two phases. Detached mobile homes being on the north end an attached family home. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. Excuse me. Attached family homes on the south, on the north end, detached single family homes on the south end. With this concept plan, which is probably a more closer picture to what would be developed here, after you take into consideration meeting stormwater thresholds, meeting your, you know, water, the traffic, and all of those things, this would be a closer picture to what would probably come. Gross density would likely be more closer to 5.51 dwelling units per acre. The phase one detail, this would be 5.65 acres approximately of the 13.26. This shows that there are already wetlands on the site. We're proposing some open space, the attached single family homes, and the circulation that supports those homes. Southern portion of the property, you've got your detached single-family homes and the circulation that supports it, along with some more open space. So as a summary, 240001, future land use map amendment to unify the whole site under one land use designation, the residential medium density. 240002, the zoning atlas classification change to site-wide planned residential development only. And then now, after the Board of County Commissioners, we would submit a site plan. That has to come back for more approval. So this is just talking about the land use and the zoning on the property. Compatibility, we're continuing the surrounding residential character of the area, limiting it only to the single family, more permanent residential uses. We're within the urban growth boundary. We're compatible with the surrounding area. We're adding to a safe, sanitary, diverse housing stock. We're putting more homes back on the tax roll for you. Permanent residential opportunities that reduces the traffic, trip generation potential, and no adverse impact to the public facilities and infrastructure. And so we're asking for your, like the Planning and Zoning Board approved it, we are asking for you to make a motion to approve as presented, agreeing with staff's finding and agreeing with the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation that the request is consistent with the comprehensive plan, compatible with the residential character of the surrounding area. And again, the second application, so there's two motions you have to make to, again, approve as presented, agree with staff's finding and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation that the request is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the goals, objectives, and policies therein, and is consistent with the underlying future land use map designation approved above. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
On that partial land, if my memory serves me correctly, we've already approved a large RV park. What's going to happen to that? Is it no longer going to be, or still going to have the RV park plus that? Or
so that wouldn't be part of our project. It's my understanding that the historic approval on this property was approved at a higher density than what we're proposing today. Mr. Leon could probably speak more intelligently.
Toby, you was in on that one. Okay. There's no RVs down there now or park mall.
And that's with seasonal. And the commissioners also didn't want us to have an RV there more than 30 days of transit. So it was just the seasonal for shop season, more or less.
Okay. I'm going to make motion to the
second.
Got a motion with a second in discussion. I'd like to see it tabled upon finding out on the sewer and water.
I'm not.
And the roads.
Got a hand in the back.
Mr. Howard.
Yeah, Mr. Howard.
Sorry, Commissioner, but just make sure I cover my bases and my statutory requirements. I will read the title of the ordinance and by title only. You already got your motion to deny, but I just want to read this by formality as part of the requirement. Ordinance number 2024-07, an ordinance of Dixie County, Florida, related to an amendment to the future land use map series of the Dixie County Comprehensive Plan pursuant to application 240001 by the property owner under the amendment procedures established in sections 163.3161 through 163.3248 Florida statutes as amended, providing for an amendment to the future land use plan map series of the conference plan from residential moderate density and commercial to residential medium density of certain lands within Dixie County, Florida, providing for severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, and providing for an effective date.
So they it's zoned right now. They can build four houses per acre. Right now, without changing anything.
Within the RSF MH1, actually, they would only be able to do half-acre lots because the RSF MH1
limits. It's the same thing we did with Randy Corbin over there.
Limits the half-acre. So, yeah, the density allows for up to four dwelling units per acre, but it's limited by the zoning up to half-acre lots. And that would be whatever half-acre they could build without incurring in the wetlands and things like that. Now, it doesn't mean that a lot couldn't be treated into the wetlands, but...
So you're saying they can build...
How many can they build?
Two houses per acre.
Correct, under the current RSF.
Okay, two houses per acre. Now they want to take that two houses, what they can do now, and put eight in there. Is that correct?
Under the future land use, eight dwelling units per acre. The current land use is four. But yes, they're going from four to eight under the land use.
That's what I'm saying. They can build four right now per acre.
But not without zoning change. Land use, yes, but there's
two motions. I think it's confusing.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing because you have the underlying future land use map designation, which allows four, but the zoning only allows for two. So they would have to come back before this board if they were wanting to do it for. To actually get the actual four dwelling units per acre. And do the quarter acre lots, we'd have to amend it to under RSF MH2.
A year from now, I don't know if the law's going to change on the housing down there.
Zoning don't change.
On the state level, on DISTI. A year from now, my understanding the housing density is going to change on the state level.
I haven't heard of anything coming out of pipe or anything like that. The only other option, there is a Live Local Act that does allow for them to develop high density residential in the commercial aspect. So in the commercial, there might be some Live Local Act stuff that might. That could happen, but I would have to research that as well. But as far as the RSF MH1 district, it's half acre lots.
Kara, if you don't mind, have some more comments to make. Just wanted to also just confirm that if there are improvements that are found that are required in the next stage of the development phase, our client is required to make, that would be the time that they would do those things, traffic study, the making the turn lanes, the improving the water infrastructure, the wastewater, the all of the infrastructure that supports a development like this. Those are conversations that are had at the more nitty-gritty detailed development part of the phase of the development process. And so our client is open to those, and he's willing to have those discussion and make those improvements, which would not be on the cost of the county. It would be on the cost of the developer.
You got a motion with a second. Any more discussion?
Mr. Hart's
one. Yeah, I'm reading a resolution. Mr. Hart, can you come to the podium, please, sir? Howard?
Sir.
Can you come to the podium, please, sir? State your name for the record.
My name is Howard Hart. I live in the city of Gina, where we're talking about. I know a little bit about the project, but very little. But it seems like the biggest question that has been raised is the question of sewer and water. Been on the sewer and water board for 9 years, chairman of the board. I'm still on the board today. And I think in the past, our biggest problem with density happens to be with sewer and water. if we have a sewer and the ability to be able to take care of it, the density could be more per acre. So I can say with confidence that Big Bend Water Authority has already increased and fund, ready to be funded for the sewer and the water line mainly on the Taylor County side going across the bridge. So that's in the works. That's going to happen. Now, Big Bend Water Authority loves growth, okay? We love to see growth. But we also love that when a developer shows up in town, he shares the problem. So it's not a burden on the people of Gina or St. Hatchie. It's a burden on the developer to pay extra whatever that cost is to make that development happen. So it's not a big problem in that way. It seems to me like the developer has done his homework. And if he passes your approval of doing what Mr. Leon says, it seems to me like, and I ask you the question, U.S. County Commissioners, how many times a year will sit here and have this opportunity in front of you? We're going to have turn lanes. It's going to be a pain, but what are you going to do if you have to have a red light? We don't have any of that. But I think we need to share what God has given us to be able to share with other people. And if it can be done in this area, and a developer has the money and the willing and wants to take that chance, I ask you to let him make that chance. It's no expense to the county. But it should be a good revenue. It could be labor. It could be work. It could be a whole lot of things. So we've got to get scared and say, we can't put all of that in that little area. But thank God for sewer and water, you can do that because cities do it every day. So please consider that, this is a golden opportunity for Dixie County.
We need it.
I was born here, and I know this county needs the revenue that it can get. So if you can please just allow this to happen, I think we would be all rewarded for it in the end. Thank you. Any questions? I said something about water and boards, and you may say, what? You had a question about it.
I had a question of who's going to foot the bill.
That's what I said.
But originally, I mean, the county needs all the revenue we can get back in, but we don't need to get shot in the foot trying to do something good and wind up costing taxpayers more money in the long run.
Well, I can share this with you. I've been on the board probably 13 years, chairman of the board about nine years, been on the board today, and I can assure you that there are developments in St. Hatchie in St. Hatchie that have developments. But Big Bend Water Authority only covers to the curb. We don't go inside of developments. They develop it their way, they manage it their way. They have a problem, they deal with it. Same thing with the project that you have at the foot of the bridge. Big Bend Water Authority goes to the curb. Everything inside of that development is taken care of by the developer. We want to see it grow, but we don't want to see it grow on the backs of the taxpayers of Dixie County. They want growth, and there's an individual that's willing to take that chance, stick your head out on a limb and spend millions of dollars to make it happen, and it can go according to the code of the county. Please consider doing it, okay? Thank you.
For the record, my name is Kathy Abbott. I'm a member of the American Institute of Colorado Planners College of Fellows.
What was the last name? I'm sorry.
Ebaugh, E-B-A-U-G-H, F-A-I-C-T. I am the planning director for J.B. Crowe, and we represent the applicant. There's two points I want to make that Ms. Merton talked about, but I really want to point out. One, this project is within your urban growth boundary. This is an area that the county has identified for future developments. This is an area that you have said that you, with the proper utilities, the proper infrastructure, that growth and development should happen. And utilizing those areas to the maximum of their potential allows and ensures that urban sprawl outside of those areas doesn't happen because you're focused development on areas you've already identified. Additionally, in relationship to your rightful concern to make sure that the infrastructure is taken care of by the applicant. This application today is for what we call entitlements. This is what can happen on a property. It's changing the land use, the future land use designation through the comprehensive plan amendment, and it's changing the zoning designation through a rezoning application on your Atlas amendment. Those give entitlements and ability for development to happen on the property. But it isn't the last time that you will see this application. The application must come back forward to you after a site plan is developed, after the further development, which has to be consistent with the with the map that we showed, that is a binding site plan in so far as that whatever is being proposed in the next step has to be consistent with what Aaron showed. that those your development has to meet that single family area and the single family detached area. And it has to provide for the conservation areas, it has to provide for the amenities, including, I know that the applicant is considering a dog park and other areas. I wanted to go to where the site plan was. That one, right, yeah. So this is a binding site plan in that whatever we bring forward has to be consistent with this plan. This is at a much higher level than you will see it the next time, but the single family attached areas, the single family detached areas, the conservation areas that are shown on here, the public amenities that are shown on here, all of that has to be consistent with the next plan, which you will see. And again, you will be able to, you get the authority to approve that plan. So the infrastructure that is required for this project as evaluated by your building officials, by evaluated by the Suwannee Water Management District, by the Fire District, any other agency that has the authority over this property will have to come forward and go through that site plan and review it. So if a turn lane is required, the applicant will have to do that as part of their application. If potable water lines are need to be extended to meet the needs of this application, the application will have to show how it's going to do that. If sewer lines need to be extended, those will have to be shown. If there is any impact on the school district, that will have to be shown. Any impact on public infrastructure that is created by this development will have to be shown in the next phase, and you get the opportunity to look at that, not the only the opportunity, but you're required, we're going to be required to bring this back to you. We're going to be required to show you how any concerns or comments that we have gotten through that review of the process have been addressed and have been provided by the applicant. The applicant is aware of this, our client is aware of this, and is prepared to do what is required as part of their application in the next phase. What we're asking for today is the entitlement to go to this phase. We have yet to go to this phase. We haven't, as far as we've gotten is this site plan, but we are ready to go to the next phase. We just haven't yet. So we haven't done our traffic studies. We haven't done our infrastructure studies because we're not there yet. But in order for us to get there, it will have to come back through you. So I just want you to understand that this is not the last time you'll see this application. It is but the first time you see the application.
I'm planning on it being my last. It's my last time looking at it. I'm ready to vote.
I've got something else.
We're still in discussion. I have been playing on this for 2 or 3 days. I have listened to
a pile of people.
I am no engineer, but I know what 13 acres of land looks like. I'm good with 4 houses per acre. I think 4 houses per acre is a little bit too much because they ain't much there. But if you can build 4 houses per acre, I'm good with that. You take them 4 houses per acre, average of 2 vehicles per house, that comes up to about 100 vehicles got crammed up in there with 50 homes on 13 acres going in and out on a 2-lane little old bitty road right through there. So that is my opinion. I've prayed on it, and the good Lord has made me comfortable for that decision right there. Yes, the business side of me, yes, our county does need more tax. I'm still the safety and 50 homes, 13 acres, 100 vehicles in and out there. I'm comfortable with that decision right there.
For consideration. There is a limit on how low you can go to where the improvements no longer make sense for to the developer. And so if you're looking for improvements for this area, more units makes it more feasible, cost feasible to do the traffic studies, to do the infrastructure improvements. To make it just that's what makes it make sense.
So in other words, you're saying
your idea don't work.
We do it your way or no way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you just said.
That's exactly what she's saying is initially we're all sitting up here following through what the forefathers have set forth ahead of us. They said ahead of us that this area was already designated for growth.
If that's the case, Jody, it shouldn't even be in front of us. Why are they here?
Well,
they're not.
It's already designated for growth. It was already projected for that. It's already in the for that.
Then why are they here? They need, it's not nothing to do with the comprehensive plan. That's why they want to make the changes. But if you make the changes to that partial property,
so the comprehensive plan was laid out for growth in certain areas. If
the
growth
remember,
that they had back at that time, they didn't have the sewer and water.
Do you remember it always ain't been four houses per acre? It was one house per acre.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about, it changed. So what you're saying is right. They did do that.
Yes.
You're 100% correct, but
they didn't do it. They didn't do it.
Along.
They had a, it would be told, we wouldn't be sitting here today if they had sewer and water in front of them when they
exactly
done
right.
What they done. We wouldn't be sitting here. I mean, I'm just saying.
If they was following the rules, they wouldn't be here.
No.
Sure.
Yes.
Place by the other Lindsay County.
Did you say your
name? This current project is already zoned as an RV park. 108 dwellings, RV park with commercial right now. We are trying to take it to residential family. We're not asking for anything more that's already been done throughout this county. If you look at Horseshoe, if you look at Suwannee, and if you look a half, three quarters of a mile down the road at River's Edge Townhomes right next to Good Times Motel Marina, they are 12 units on a half acre. 0.6 acres, 12 units already. There's two. There's 24 dwellings on 1.2 acres. If you go to Horseshoe, same thing. If you go to Suwannee, they're everywhere in Suwannee. We're not asking for 12 or 24 per acre. We're not asking for high density. We're asking for 5.47 dwellings. It's not going to be. We're asking for 108 because that's what comes along with the zoning. That's not what we intend to plan. That's not what we're going to build. Our magic number was 78. Talking with our planning council, it's already dropped to 73. We're donating the wetlands back to the state of Florida. We're putting in a dog park. We're putting in boat parking. We're putting in a swimming pool, or we're asking to do this. It's going to drop from 78. It's already dropping from 78 to 73, and it's probably going to drop a little bit more. But we're not asking for anything else that has already been done in all these other communities. A mile away, River
Lake. You, only 108 RV sites that y'all are designated for now. There's a, y'all not going to do any RV sites.
No commercial, no RVs.
So all RVs are going to go away.
And like I said, a mile away is River's Edge. That is 0.6 acres with 12 dwellings. Yeah. This is some of the renderings of the housing that we're looking at that really on the south side of the road. We're looking at putting nice houses in the community.
We come to the podium, state your name. We're about to beat this horse along. We're going to beat it now.
You know, I have been timing them, Commissioner, just so I'll let you know.
Yes,
sir. Lori Hartman. We just came from an area that was highly developed. And it just kept moving in from Disney.
And what we found was the single-family homes that were meant to be for single-family people living there in the area turned into timeshares, turned into
Airbnbs.
The homeowners may or may not be known to us. They go through a management company. And if, and these houses, let's all be honest, we're Dixie County. We don't have the kind of money in our back pockets to buy a house like that. So who's going to be coming into our county? Investors who are going to buy these properties and turn them into Airbnbs. That's who's going to be able to afford that. Not the people of Gina, the majority of Gina, or any place else in Dixie County. This isn't for us. This is for the developer, tourism, and the wealth of the homeowner who's buying it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more discussion?
Well, I heard Mr. Spidey said that they've done knocked it down to 70. If you knock another 20 off of it, you're back at 50, and everything is good.
Yep.
Build a swimming pool and make a nice place with 50 homes. 13 acres.
Yes, sir.
They're not
going to
make any money
on it.
Not going to
make enough money.
So motion for a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I guess I'm the only one I'm on opposing.
We have one more time, and that's what Mr. Brandon is going to do. He's going to do the second one.
For formality, I want to go through the ordinance for the rezoning and read it by top one. Ordinance number 2024-08, an ordinance on Dixie County, Florida, amending ordinance 90-04, Dixie County Land Development Regulations, as amended relating to an amendment to the official zoning atlas of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, as amended, pursuant to an application by the property owner of said acreage, providing for rezoning from a residential a commercial general, CG, to planned residential development, PRD, of certain lands within the unincorporated limits of Dixie County, Florida, providing for severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, and providing for an effective date.
Second.
The motion was second. In discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Again, I'm all opposed. Motion carried, then.
Who was the second?
Me.
Mark.
Oh.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding y'all wanted the update of the restores, the Dixie County Restore Funds.
Not right now. We're still in this stuff.
Yeah.
Next.
Ordinance number 2025-01, an ordinance of Dixie County, Florida, relating to future land use map series of Dixie County Comprehensive Plan, pursuant to an applicant 2024-02-22 by the property owner under the amended procedures established in section 153.30.61 through 153.32.48 plus statute as amended, providing for the amendment of future land use plan map series of comprehensive plan residential single family slash mobile home RSF MH to the commercial intent CI of certain lands within the Dixie County Court.
Motion. Second.
Motion
by David, second by Mark. Any discussion? All in favor?
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Ordinance number 2025-02, an ordinance of the Dix County, Florida, relating to an amendment of the official zoning atlas and the land development regulations as amended relating to an amendment rezoning pursuant to the applicant 24-23 petition dated 12-10-2024 by the property owner of said acreage providing for rezoning of residential single-family mobile home RSF to commercial intent certain lands in the unincorporated area of Dixie County, Florida, providing suitability, feeling all ordinances in conflict, and providing effective date.
Motion.
Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Daniel. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Ordinance 2025-03, an ordinance of Dixie County, Florida, relating to an amendment to the official zoning of the land development regulations as amended relating to an amendment rezoning pursuant to the applicant 2025-0046 petition dated 01-14-2025 by the property owner of said acreage providing for rezoning from an environmental sensitive area ESA 4 to commercial neighborhood CN of certain lands in the unincorporated area of Dixie County, Florida, providing severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, providing an effective date. The applicant was Billy Ray Taylor, District 2, Mr. Daniel Woods. The LPA recommends a denial, and their denial stated, recommended denial arguments included the short stop located at 1296 Highway 317 Old Town, approximately 1,500 feet to the north on the same side of the street. Due to historical concerns associated with similar requests in the area, we prioritize the well-being and safety of the community, and past experiences have indicated potential challenges that could arise. We appreciate the understanding of the matter and encourage any future inquiries to align with community standards.
Motion to deny.
Second.
You got a motion to deny by Daniel, second by Mark. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Hang on, let us see.
Was the man here?
Yes.
Are y'all going to let him speak?
Well, he's done been recommended to get denied. But he can speak if he wants to. All right, let's move on.
I mean, they had that sure stop there, but it's been closed for 25 years.
That's why I have that man right there on that board. He does his job, he does it well. And he made a motion, or suggested it be denied, the whole board. Approved it.
So, aye now.
Ordinance number 2025-04, an ordinance of the Dixie County, Florida, amending the future land use map of the Dixie County Comprehensive Plan as amended relating to the amendment of 50 acres or less of land pursuant to applicant 2025-0108 by the property owners under the amendment procedures established in sections 153-31-32-32-38, providing for the changing of the future land use classification from residential low density equal to 2 dwelling units per acre to the residential moderate density equal to 4 dwelling units per acre of certain lands within the unincorporated area of Dixie County, Florida, providing severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, and providing an effective date. Applicant was Andrew Rains. District 2, Mr. Daniel Woods, the LPA recommended an approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion by Daniel, second by David. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Ordinance number 2025-05, an ordinance in the Dix County, Florida, amending the official zoning atlas of Dix County Land Development Regulations as amended. An amendment rezoning of 50 acres or less contiguous acres of land pursuant to an applicant 2025-0109 by the property owners of said acreage providing for the rezoning of residential single family mobile home RSF MH1 to residential single family mobile home RSF MH2 of certain lands within the unincorporated area of Dixie County, Florida, providing severability, repealing all ordinances in conflict, and providing an effective date. Mr. Andrew Rains. District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood, LPA recommended approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Daniel, second by David. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
All right, resolution number 2025-23. A resolution for the Board of County Commissioners of County, Florida to approve a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.4.5 of the Dixie County Development Regulations to permit a wireless telecommunications tower in an agricultural area, AG, zoning district in accordance with petition dated January 24, 2025, and applicant was James Mickle and Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood, and LPA recommended approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Daniel, second by David. Any discussion?
Is that Waldo Park?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And they need one there.
Yep, I agree.
There's no problem.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Resolution 2025-24. A resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Dixie County, Florida to approve a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.7.5, special exception to Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in a residential single-family mobile home area, RSF MH, zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated December 13, 2024, to Austin and Eric Pride, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch, LPA recommends denial.
Are they here?
Yes.
Can you come up and speak?
I'm Austin Pride. I'm the homeowner, the property owner of the resolution in question. I'm just trying to get my power hooked back up so I can start rebuilding. The house was a complete loss after Idalia. So that's really all.
Where are you at, Ben and Swanee?
Yes, sir.
So tell me what happened to your house. Hurricane took your house out?
Yeah, it knocked it off the block. So
and, what, and this is an RV special exception?
Yeah, but I'm not going to put an RV there permanently. I'm not putting a pole barn up, no slab.
He's not ready yet to pull house permit plans.
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as you got your house permit, you wouldn't even need to even be here.
No.
You can get power then. So how far are you out from that?
Probably.
Leon, what do you think? Seems like we've crossed this bridge a couple different times on this, and I want to be consistent.
Do you have any notes from the
LPA? We did have it in there in the beginning. Yeah. If someone lost their home, they could get power back with no permits whatsoever.
It. Why did the LPA deny?
Due to previous history of Airbnb and no other RVs on the road.
There is another RV on the road.
We're not going to fuss about RVs, but at the end of the day, what's your plan? Was that Airbnb?
Occasionally. Just to help pay for it. Don't make any money on it. Like I said, it's not going to be an Airbnb RV. I'm just using it to rebuild.
You know, if we go down there, we give you power, and we find you Airbnb and that, we're going to... We're going to turn your power off,
understand.
And we're going to fine you. We'll try our best to throw you in jail.
Understand,
but...
How come he wasn't covered under the blanket we had set for the rest of
because
them?
Because it wasn't a permanent residence.
Well.
Because you don't live down there, do you?
No, sir.
60 amp, is that what he's looking at?
100 amp.
Grinder pump.
Oh, yeah, it's grinder pump down there.
Yep.
If we catch a RV on that property without an RV special exception, we're going to turn your power off. Let's be perfectly clear with that, okay?
So I can't put an
you
RV
ain't got
an
RV special exception. That ain't what you're applying for. You're applying
I'm just trying to get the power hooked back up.
Well, I'm telling you.
But can I take an RV over there with a generator? Is there anything in
play to that? No, I mean if we this was for an RV special exception, so if that's given to him, then he has the use of it for himself, not the Airbnb at all.
Okay.
Which is my plan. I still want to be able to go over to fish or
enjoy
the land.
And we want you to be able to enjoy your property.
Yeah.
Before it's hard for their property, and they should have all the rights to use their property. That's detrimental to the neighbor.
Right.
Because the neighbor worked just as hard for their property to pay for their property.
Understood, and I see where they're coming from.
Yes.
I'm okay with it, honestly, but I'm going to tell you, if you Airbnb that thing out, I'm going to be disappointed with you, and I'm going to try my best to throw you under the jail.
I hear you.
Do you really? Okay. I mean, I'm serious.
That's a serious man,
motion to approve.
Second. Got a motion by Mark, second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Don't let us down.
Yeah. 1 year you're going to be...
All opposed, same sign, motion carried.
Thank you.
All right, resolution 2025-25, resolution of the Board of Planning Commissioners, Dixon County, Florida, to approve a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.7.7, special exceptions of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit reduction of setbacks from 10 feet to 5 feet for the replacement of a home due to hurricane damage in the RSF MH zoning district in accordance with the decision of January 10, 2025, Mr. Gregory Scott.
Have you had any opposition since? Is anyone here opposing? Anybody on the phone? I've not heard nothing of y'all.
No, sir.
Motion to approve.
No motion. Mark. Second by David. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Resolution 2025-26, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners to approve a special exception to be granted as provided section 4.7.5, special exceptions of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle, residential single-family mobile home area, RSF MH zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated December 20th, 2024, Mr. Slade Williams, and Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch, LPA, recommends approval.
Have you had any opposition since?
I have not.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Y'all heard anything?
No.
I have. Motion to approve.
Motion by Mark.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Resolution number 2025-27, resolution of the Board of County Commissioners, Dixon County, Florida, to approve a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.7.5, special exception of the Dixon County Land Development Regulation to permit one recreational vehicle in a residential single-family mobile home area, RSF, MH, zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated January 9, 2025, Joseph and Linda Robinson, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch, LPA, recommends an approval.
Heard any opposition since?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing it? Anyone on the phone? Have you all heard anything on this?
No, sir.
I haven't either. Motion to approve.
Motion by Mark. Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
The resolution 2025-28 was withdrawn by the applicant.
So that's the Swanee Gardens one, huh?
Yes,
sir. Gotcha.
That was all my bonus there, but I have two other items for you from the building department.
Can we take it? Take a new minute?
Hey, y'all told me to go first, so we did the substantial damage outreach. We did a makeup day at the library. It was a really good turnout. We had a lot of feedback, even from the state, that a lot of Dixon County residents were some of the first ones in the portal, so I'm excited about that. I'm really, really hopeful for that. The second item that I have for you is Mr. Linton has a 2024 truck on the lot over there. It was left over from last year's. They reduced the price significantly for us, $42,854, and I'd like permission to buy it. It's in my budget. It was part of the plan. But I need y'all to give me the okay to get it.
How much is it?
It's $42,854.
You got it in your budget?
I do.
Motion to let you go get it.
Got a motion by Jamie.
Second.
Second by Daniel.
What do we vote on? Let's discuss.
Just roll with it.
Leon found another pretty reasonable.
The truck deal, yeah. Okay, I'm good.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Motion carried.
So that you know when you get, because I need to go with you.
Okay. So that cleans up and puts the other truck for solid waste. We would request that we send that old Tahoe over so that we have a backup vehicle to carry the board.
Tim, are you good with that?
I'm good with it.
You're good with it going there? Yes. Motion to
set
the truck swap.
Going to buy him some tires, Tim?
Thank you, boys.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we do.
There's
got a motion by Mark to do
the truck swap.
I will second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Motion carried. Carrie, remember anybody here from Anti-Drug?
Gone.
Sorry.
We skipped yellow jacket.
Yeah, you skipped yellow. Let's see.
Hmm?
You skipped the yellow jacket.
I don't even see where in the hell y'all at.
It was all over at the beginning.
I know, it's so confusing now. I hate it.
Snyder, yellow jacket.
Board of Commissioners for hearing me today. My name is Cynthia Snyder and I am a client of Ron and Bebe Oxendine's at Yellow Jacket RV Resort. My husband and I have resided there since September 1st. When I got wind of the situation, I was led to help. When God puts something in your direction and you have the ability to do it, you better do it. So, I stand before you today to present a request for the paving of Southeast 477th Avenue and Southeast 752nd, leading up to their campground property. In the spirit of organization and time constraints, I have broken this request into two parts, what we know and what we do not know. I will begin with what we know, as there is a far longer list. What we know is Yellow Jacket RV Resort's request for road paving has not been a part of Dixie County's CIP, Capital Improvement Plan for Government Grant Awards. Yellow Jacket Landing Incorporated in Dixie County entered into a partnership agreement for public boat access and adjacent park maintenance. Ron and Bebe Oxendine, owners of Yellow Jacket Landing Incorporated, have been great stewards of this community. Ron has spent over 800,000 hours in the last 24 years maintaining the boat ramp and park along with roadway cleaning and clearing of both Southeast 477th and Southeast 752nd. We know that they have paid their taxes in full and on time for the last 24 years. We know that there is an at-risk population residing at Yellow Jacket at any given time, with the average age of full-time residents being 74 years. Many of these residents have chronic health conditions which necessitate being able to perform low-impact exercise, such as walking and bicycle riding. We know it is imperative that emergency EMS vehicles would have a safe path in any weather condition going down into the property. The condition of these roadways make that safe path for residents and EMS impossible. We know that both 477th Avenue and 752nd Street are in great disrepair. Improper maintenance practices have left these roadways no longer crowned. As a result, the roads are concave, accumulating water and debris, as well as gaping craters, which makes driving on them dangerous, especially during rain events. Safe walking and bicycle riding are not possible. Ron has had to continually move dirt and debris-filled road surface from the sides of the roadway in order to allow some element of drainage. As hard as he works to help maintain these roadways, the only thanks he has gotten is being accused of stealing the debris-infested road surface mounds that are left behind from improper grading. We know that their business has been at a steady decline of 12% to 15%, with many of their clients survey feedback stating problems with access due to very poor road conditions. We also know that at 80 plus years old, Ron and Vivi will at some point not be able to do the job of the county. We also know how grant monies are required to be used and reported on. What we do not know, the process and procedure to which the county decides what roads become part of the CIP, taking into account at-risk populations. We also do not know to what degree proper grant reporting to the state by Dixie County is being obeyed after grant monies are used. Much of the road wear and tear that is taking place is a result of public access to the boat ramp. Many trailers with boats in tow are bouncing down those roadways on a weekly basis and sometimes a daily basis. If the Oxendon's request cannot be met at this time, we will be requesting a copy of the Right to Know paperwork, which as you know is accessible to the public by law, and will be requiring an inclusive account of the process and procedure for decisions made with government grant monies on all Dixie County road paving projects dating back for a 20-year period. We will also be taking this to the state level at that time. A state audit may be requested. I present to you a copy of a petition. Do I just hand this? With 200 plus signatures, and I will leave you with this. I have two sons. My oldest son is a staff attorney in the United States Army and major state Germany, and my youngest son is a doctor at Walter Reed Medical Facility in Maryland. Both are in the Army. When they were young, I had a little extra fun that I did with the two of them. They were 2.5 years apart, so I did it separately. But I had them place their hand on their heart, and I asked them to tell me a story of something that they had done terrible and how they felt about it. And I said, don't tell me yet how you feel. And then I asked them to think about something wonderful that had done that they were proud of themselves for. And then I asked them afterwards, how did you feel about the thing that you did that was so horrible? And they said, very bad. And I asked them about, well, how did you feel about the thing that you did that was wonderful? And they said, very good. And I said, where did you feel that from? And they said, from in here. And I said, that's God's voice. So I ask you today, when you're deciding on this, and you're thinking about all the years that Ron and BB have been good stewards of the county, that you think about what is the right decision to make. I appreciate your time.
Okay. I think we got an excellent project manager man doing the road. He's from my district, and he's sitting right back there.
Yeah.
And we got an excellent road superintendent. And I think you're going to need that paperwork, the audit and stuff, so y'all need to get her stuff that she needs that she's going to require where she can carry to Tallahassee. We get audited all the time, so you're more than welcome to get all that and carry it wherever you want to carry it. So I'd love for every road in our county to be paved, but that's what, about a 2.5-3 mile road? How long is that road, Robert? You grade it all the time.
It's probably a couple miles. May I just stand up and say something?
Yes, sir. You can.
Yes,
but it's about a million.
Don't do the podium and state your name.
I'm still, wait a minute. I'm still talking. It's about $1.5 million dollars a mile to pave. That's about a $3 million project. I don't mind putting that road on a DOT 5-year plan. I don't mind doing that a bit in the world. But what happens is we submit 5 roads a year. And you'll see that.
We can get it paid for you.
Hold on.
Hey, we can get it paid for tomorrow. We get it. If they want to put it on the tax roll, they pay for it. Their taxes,
they ain't
going to
do that. They ain't going to do that. So anyway, you'll see in this audit stuff that she's going to get you how this process works. And you really need to get educated on that, because it sounds like you got a trip to Tallahassee to make. So get all that stuff gathered up. And we put this on a 5-year plan. But we submit 5 roads. DOT selects the roads. They select 3. Normally, they don't select the roads we want anyway, so we keep submitting the same roads. And the reason we do that is because we have to do the right-of-ways. DOT's got a 60-foot right-of-way now that you must require. I don't even know. Do you know what that right-of-way is through there?
No.
I didn't figure you did. I think it's around 40. But I believe that's what that is. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it's 40. So it might not even meet the DOT requirements for paving, but we will check that out.
Okay, have you been down there a lot?
I go down there a bunch.
Okay.
And well, I also go down there enough to know that we put rock there at that ramp that he uses inside of his business.
Yes, I've been down.
And you failed to mention that because we cut that off.
Years ago.
Because I told Hutch to quit doing that.
Yeah.
He was using it there at the ramp, but he quit using it there. He started taking it and putting it on private property. You forgot to mention that part of it. So I do not. I'm going to stand strong for my men. I know what they do every day. I travel that road a lot because it is in my district. And the daggum road ain't in bad shape. And as far as him going out there scraping up the side roads, he's been told multiple times not to do that. Matter of fact, up to the point where we had to get the law involved in it. So there's another side of the story that you don't know about.
Well, I drive over the road every day, and it's horrible.
Well, it is a lime rock road.
There's no line being laid. I lived on lime rock roads at Fort Pierce, Georgia.
I've never seen a lime rock road in Georgia. I've seen clay roads in Georgia, but you might have lived somewhere else. I did, I didn't travel to because I ain't never lived in Georgia. But irregardless, most of them are clay roads up there, right?
They're
clay. There's a big difference between the two, clay and lime rock.
They were maintained, though.
Yeah, we maintain that road. Robert, how often do you grade that road?
Let me come up here. My name is Robert Carter. I'm a District 3 motor grader operator. I grade every four districts in this county. I grade all over this county. I go to Yellow Jacket twice as much as I do anywhere else. Hutch and him have sent me from Swanee to Yellow Jacket to grade that road. If y'all will go pull my records showing when I grade that road, you will see I go down there more than I do any other roads in any other district. And you will also find out that if Monk and them would go down there every time there's a complaint made, I haven't went and graded that road, but they ain't a pothole that deep in it and worse shape than what my road is. At times, the minute you get a little bump down there, if a frog scratched his butt hopping the hole, they call. I'm just being honest with y'all. And I have cut swales on the side of that road. That road does not hold water. I built that slough up with boulders. I'm talking about pure boulders.
Yes, you did.
They sent boulders to me, and I worked that road till I got it slick and got it cranked. That road gets more attention than any road in Dixie County. Is it perfect? No, it is not. No road in Dixie County is perfect. But that road is not in as bad shape as what they're saying.
I know. So anyway, this is our clerk. Thank your sons, both your sons, seriously now, for your service.
Robert.
But this is your clerk. Any request you need, you can make right there through her.
Tomorrow.
You put records request.
Mr. Leon.
What?
Record retention for the road is only 5 years, so we can't go back 20 years.
You don't got to go back that far for me, because last time I was there, we just wrote up a whole bunch of non-permitted floodplain violations. It is my recommendation that they work on getting those fixed.
First, that's what I was going to ask you, Mr. Leon, about. That's pretty wet down there.
There you go.
Okay, McAllister.
As far as tourism goes, try to keep this nice and positive. We've been
busy. Settle down, let her talk.
Thank you. In late January, we went to the Atlanta Camping and RV 4-day show and invited visited with many people, gave out a lot of information, and invited a lot of people to come down and visit us. This was followed by by working at the Visit Florida Huddle, that's what it's called, in Ocala. We got a scholarship to go and work at that event. Very interesting because a lot of this had to do with international travel. A lot of these people from some of these different countries have done the world, you know, and they're looking for, you know, for like a 3 or 4 day into their vacation and enjoying nature. So we're going to pursue that and pursue the advertising there a little bit. That will be done with our whole Natural North Florida group together, because it's too expensive for just one county to jump in on that. Got back to that on a Thursday morning and repacked and headed to Perry, Florida for the Fish-A-Rama and Turkey-A-Rama event. Luckily, the Turkey-A-Rama was in a different building, so I didn't have to listen to turkey calls the whole time. I was at the Fish-A-Rama, and so we talked to a lot of fishermen. We had one of our captains from Swanee come on Saturday and help me out, so he was able to book some people right there, get them booked into those fish camps, so it was a very successful show. The next thing to do is to prepare for Rural County Days. We've had a meeting on that. We will have our booth set up there. I have gotten scholarship information in. Thank you all for the timeline. And I believe most of our commissioners are planning to go to this legislature time. It's a great time for the commissioners to meet with the legislature, and also a great time for us to share what we have in this county to offer. We're looking into what kind of promotional items to do. John very nicely is wearing one of the shirts that we were going to see if any of the county commissioners wanted to purchase, and we could be in the same.
Stand up, Anna.
Go, buddy.
And because of stock and everything, we're switching to that color. So I will check with you all. Martha, we'll get a list together. And
they should all wear the same. We should all.
It has a women's cut. It has a women's cut.
I didn't wear this on purpose.
No, but I have
this
a,
what I picked today.
Mine folded in the bag. It was much easier to show off with you. So any questions on that, on the Rural County Days? I think it'll be great for, I'm excited that we're going to have such a showing there for our county. And finally, for the comeback trail, as Channel 20 calls it, basically businesses that are reopening in our area. Very happy that River's Edge Restaurant, which is one of the two dads, has opened. They opened in time for the Fiddler Crab Festival, which had a great turnout. Salt Creek Restaurant, the main restaurant down in Swanee, is reopened, so you all come down and enjoy a little seafood and relaxing time along the coast along there.
You might want to talk about that.
And that's it. Anything else for me?
Both our marinas is open down there. Bill's Fish Camp's open. Let's get the comeback trail back, because I think all of our businesses open back up except our store and the post office. We're having post office problems down there too. So that everything except them two is open back up in Swan.
Right, and the marinas have stepped up to have a lot of the items that the stores are carrying, so that's helpful to us. I don't know. I checked with Tammy as far as Horseshoe, different businesses that have reopened right now. Do you have anything to?
We still have Lacey's food trailer open, mostly for lunch. She starts to do occasional special supper. She did a great one for Valentine's Day. Cracker's Bait Shop, he's getting very close to going back into operation. He's working on his shrimp tanks, and he should be back for shrimping here pretty soon.
Yes, so I'm very happy that the our coastal communities are really starting to come back.
Hardware store, put it in.
Hardware store, they're not reopened. Anything else?
One thing is, thank you very much for what you do for the county. You do an excellent job.
Thank you.
Good job. Please come to this podium, state your name, sir. We'll pick it from the floor. We go backwards, we go forwards. You want to talk, you come up here and speak.
I don't want to talk that bad, Jody.
All right, then. You just sit there. Sit on it, then.
Thank you. I worked the Fiddler Crab Festival with the sheriff's office, and it went off without a hitch, no problems.
That's what I saw. I was out of town.
But what was their turnout down there, David?
I don't know, but it was a pile. The parade was awesome.
I was told they did better this year than they did on a normal year.
Yes,
really?
Sir. I mean, you could stand on top of the hill and you couldn't see a spot that wasn't a person. Yeah.
And Channel 20 has done a nice job with their comeback trail.
Yes.
They check with me every Thursday to find out what businesses have opened up in the area.
Get home in time to watch.
I think that's been real helpful.
It was real good. Parallel, whatever, real well.
Great to hear that. Reminder, the Suwannee Arts and Nature Festival is March 8th. I think that's Saturday. And then we'll be having the new Crossroads Festival here in
April the 5th.
Cross City. April the 5th. Fishing tournament down in Horseshoe Beach. Near the end of April.
And the library's open back up too. Hutch and them got that thing back open.
Yep.
A lot of people use the library down there.
Greg Bailey.
My doctor is closed for right now.
Okay.
So that they can do some work on it, and I don't want to be long.
I'll be brief. Biggest thing we have is on the CDBG project, 97-97. I know the county was looking at trying to get some different quotes on clearing and grubbing, but there was discussion also about rebidding that project. You had the one bid before, so the board knew, decided that's what you want to do, and then we can put stuff back out to bid if that's what it was.
Say that again.
Rebid 95th and 97th CDBG project. That was one that was over budget. It had the high clearing item. I think John's office has gotten some reduced quotes, but I think we still have an issue with budget.
And he gets more money?
They get any more money on this.
Yeah,
we've
had another contractor come into play that wanted to bid on it the first time, but they were having trouble with their bonding, but they have since got bonded. So I believe they have two. The way it's priced out, there's no way we can meet budget if we try to rebid it and get the trees out of there and compensate some of that.
I'll make the motion to just rebid it.
Motion for Jamie.
Second that.
Take it by David.
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Just get it rebid.
Yep.
Okay. Just one more. With the fire station designs there, they're pretty much getting finalized. We're still working with the businesses on the property itself. The sheriff's office building cost for the grouting. We'll discuss that with the sheriff's office. The only other thing I have, just let you know, the president dropped the rural renaissance package. You heard the rural renaissance term. That's kind of a buzzword they got all happy during the session. They're going to create a $40 million pot for on the market roads. They're going to increase scrap is what the Senate is proposing to increase scrap to about $35 million a year for 25. There's a couple other items in here, increase the infrastructure fund as well. I did speak to the chairman of the House Transportation Committee about adding bridges into the SCOP program. Right now, we're very limited on bridge work that we can do without scrap. SCOP can't do anything with scrap, but you can do it with SCOP. So I've asked them about potentially adding that in there. And I've also got, I'm working on the DEP possibility, something that we need to talk about soon for that we work as well. One of our work communities, we have
trees that need to be replaced, and it's just a critical need that we have.
Yeah, so I got two on one road.
I don't know if John or Mark have been in contact, but you should be getting contact with our Department of Commerce for a meeting the 30th of March. They've got $925 million in a federal block grant. It's being switched to 47 counties, and those counties are the counties that were affected by two hurricanes and one storm. So the ones that hit from about Tampa, back up, Cedillo, Taylor County, and Madison County, in that area. So they're going to be asking for what their needs are. They're going to be looking at hardening items, you know, raising foundations if it's possible, adding armor to utilities or increasing the resistance to utilities to destruction of storms and all that. So destruction of roads, obviously the seawall would be something you'd have to bring up to them. Any of our utility work that we've been doing for Swanee or Horseshoe Beach down there in those areas is going to be something that needs to be mentioned as well. And then any sort of road hardening that we've got bridges can be part of that as well. So, I'm not saying we'll get all that money or a big chunk of that money, but the bigger our list is, the bigger our chances will be.
Who's that contact coming from?
Department of Commerce. The plan, they're trying to work the plan. They want to see what all the counties have as far as we need, and then the application cycle will open up the end of the south.
And what's your OC? I think I remember last year being told that those two bridges were up for 2028 replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get them moved up to go with the 358 that's coming up next year, but it's too far down the road because it's stopping at that 669.
Greg, on that farm, rules for farms. Yep. What are they considering? Just watermelons, crops, or does pine trees also include in farming?
We haven't got that any orchards. I've been wondering about that, if I can include pine trees in there.
Right.
Definitely our peanut fields, our watermelon fields, or anything like that are certainly part of it. So, you know, right off the bat, I think it's certainly 51.
Right.
You got hay fields, you got all sorts of farming.
What about our fishermen off the coast? Crabbers, shrimpers. Aqua farming.
Yeah, aquaculture.
We'll push it
as far as they tell us now.
Definitely check, because if it's trees, and trees, I got a pine tree farm. So if we can include trees into farming, that will open a lot of doors up.
It is already classified as a farming, although I can't include it.
I would expect to have a pretty loose thing because they're really focusing on our rural communities.
Okay.
So I would expect a loose interpretation of that.
Okay. Good. What about a campground coming from a campground back up?
That's a little bit.
Mr. Bailey, what was the total for that fund?
Excuse me, sir.
I'm sorry.
The outburst from the floor, if you like to speak. Raise your hand, come up to the podium.
Debbie Nobles, I just didn't know, taking some notes, what was the total for that block grant?
The state got $925 million.
And how many counties?
47.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Chair,
and members of the board. So to go through what has happened since the last time we talked to the Restore Act, the SEP has been approved by the Gulf Consortium, but not by Restore yet. So it's in the process of being approved, but we have gotten, last week we got approval to start making applications for those amendments we made within the SEP, which is the state expenditure fund. So we're going to go ahead and get everything together, start making those applications for those other projects, and then hopefully those will be going before the Gulf Consortium within June of this year. Once they get to the consortium, they'll go to the Restore Council, and if everything goes perfectly, hopefully by this December, we can start getting funds for some of those other projects. And the other, the first one, the horseshoes, that has been approved by the Gulf of the Soil. It has gone to the restore, but has not been approved by the restore. But hopefully, we'll know more in the mid-summer about the funding for that. Any questions? Or? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Locker. Cindy's not here.
Speak with her, please, Jody.
Morning, Rover.
John's got something.
Miss Cindy, she is minus one full-time staff member and one part-time staff member, and she's just requesting that the board allow her to hire two part-time employees with no benefits. She asked me, I don't think so for part-time, but I just...
I'll see that problem with it.
She's, you know, we won't have to pay benefits or anything like that. She'll get two for the price of one. Yeah. Wages, save money in her budget. Also, her library at D-Track has been completed by the turnkey operation. We went and looked at it the other day. It's really good. And D-Track building, I'm going to steal David's horn, but we're waiting on trusses for that. As soon as they come in, if they're in by Friday, they're going to start working Monday. If not, it'll be a few days after Monday for them to start finishing that building for him or for his district. That's all I got.
Marcy's going to cover 20.
Yeah, we got a, I'll get our name, Barbie, for our next agenda. They got a new general manager down there. It's a lady, I can't remember. It's 20 Water and Sewer.
Okay.
I'll have her reach out to you the next board meeting, but everything's going pretty good down there, so no complaints. Just a roll-off site. Go ahead.
Steve Freeman, Cody Forfeit, you don't got nothing? Stevie Hutchinson, the Road Department.
Good afternoon, Board. I'm going to stop mowing pretty hard. I need another riding lawnmower for my mower.
Have you got it in your budget?
Yeah, we got that straightened out yesterday. You got it.
Brenda, y'all get motion for motion to buy a mower.
That motion will mark. Second by
motion.
Well, motion by David, second by Mark. How's that? All in any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same sign. Motion carried. You got a lot more.
Anything for me?
Keep
that good
work.
Did you?
No.
Need to ask all my.
I got something.
Hey, my boss.
That. We was talking about the rock pit, the feasibility to keep it up with the rock pit, the crusher, and all that stuff. Have you got any numbers from any other the other counties on what they're paying for rock and how they're doing their rock?
That's right. I'm still not about
end of it. I'd like for you to entertain looking at Gilchrist County and some of the surrounding counties that's buying rock rather than crushing it and seeing what it would.
They weren't paying.
I believe Roy's been gathering that information.
Okay. So, it won't hurt for you to look into it, too. You can talk to the superintendent over there.
Where, Gilchrist?
I'd like to check on it anyway. Talk to him and see what their superintendent say.
Chairman Roy is working on that information.
Okay.
Okay, Gilchrist County, I spoke to Sharon Lamper, the chairman over there. And I asked her about lime rock. She said, we pay $10 a load to a property owner, but we have to mine it and process it ourselves. Anyway, I've done that.
Because you can go digging on property, you just can't crush it on property.
I don't understand how you let us down on the road lady. Yellow Jacket Road. Made us look bad in here.
He did.
I know you did. I'm just picking at you. You know you.
Robert's got one of the biggest areas. He made crosses.
Yeah.
He made the Dixie Main Line. He made
one. Four districts.
Every time I've been down there, that road's been in good shape.
He got the biggest in the most rates.
Well, why don't we get him some help?
The first district may have, I don't know, my mileage wise.
Lee Robert, how long?
He works his tail off.
16 miles,
that makes 16 miles. Well, like I said, every time I've been down the road, it's been in good shape compared to the rest of them in the county.
Me too. Y'all three?
Yes, sir.
Very much. I'm not even much.
Hutch, David made that motion.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
Tim Johnson, solid waste.
Let's talk about Tim for a second. Tim, wait a minute, Scotty.
Right here. What you got?
I'm going to talk about that 20 roll-off site, what we're doing there, the funding, the bidding process. I'll let Tim, we want to put that out in the public. We're going to bid that, too. So go ahead and tell us what we're doing.
Darren's aware of that, too. We got, Darren, 1.5?
1.5.
On the tree removal at Swanee?
Yes, sir. We got the 1.5 last week. That's 50%,
yes.
I think, of
yes.
What's in there. That's cash in the bank. So the board has 1.5 million to remove the CMD down there in Swanee. And I'll tell you all they have concern about the debris pile being so big, but it's too close to burn. So we need to try to move that along as quickly as we can to get it cleared up to the current burn as well. Coming into a dry scene with the foresters predicting the next 3 months are going to be dry.
Mm.
I can't tell it from the rain we're getting, but that's what I said. So, yes, for that money's there.
We're going to work on the bid and stuff, and we might, if we get it tomorrow, but we'll get it the next few days.
Scheduled to do it tomorrow.
Yes, we're scheduled to get it out there.
Working on the advertisement.
For bidding out, people hauling that CMD to Greenville.
I want to look at a tub grinder on that, honestly, too.
Yeah, we got one cut.
Thanks, Tim.
I think that would be the way to go.
So anyway, let's keep the ball rolling on that. Tim does have a heck of a problem down there with this vegetation pile also.
Worse every day.
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, can I go home?
Scotty?
So,
got some information that I need to request, especially to help me with the terminology of the executive session. So the state requires us now to report what cybersecurity framework you are going to be using. I have a resolution down here, but this is something I think that we can discuss in an executive session that we talked about, just because of the sensitivity of the information that will be shared. I also want, when we do that, to bring all the constitutional officers in to be here when we do that and discuss all that, because some of this affects them since we provide them some little bit of services and I work with all their people. So, y'all want to look at a date. We want to do it before the next board meeting, right before that, or however y'all want to do it.
Chana, on executive sessions, I think I've been in two in 16 years. There's a lot of statute and a lot of stuff that goes along with executive sessions.
Exactly, and that's one of the things we have to make it, people aware that we're having one. We have to say who all is going to be in it. We have to convene the meeting, then recess into an executive session. We have to have it recorded. Those are
by a court reporter.
Has to be recorded, and I believe even transcribed. That part I won't swear to until I look further in that, but it does have to be preserved. We would recess when we got through or adjourn the executive session and go back into the regular session and announce that we're adjourned. Very similar, not really, but similar to the way we did when we had the LPA board with the commission board where we'd go into
in and out of public meetings. Now, the public would not be invited, obviously. It's a very confidential format. That's the reason it is what it is. It has to, there's only specific reasons we can. One of them is cybersecurity and things dealing with the layout, or the fact that it protects everybody and it protects our infrastructure and stuff. That's just that. Everybody, we have been looking at it. You know, and that's one reason, too. We would need to, you know, like today, put it out that, hey, we're going to have this meeting. Public is made aware of it. It's as transparent as we can be without jeopardizing the security of.
How soon do you need to have this, Scotty?
I would say just do it right before the next board meeting. Maybe do it 9 o'clock, right before we meet the next board meeting, unless y'all want to do something different. Or we can do it that afternoon, either way.
That's fine.
I like morning times. I'm a morning person.
Because my thought process, because this resolution could be done in the open board meeting, because it's pretty generic. You know, there's not any information in here. This needs to be done in an open meeting. But to give you a chance to educate y'all on what this actually is talking about when you set.
How much time do you need?
I'd say do it at 9 o'clock. Just give us an hour. Like
March
6
at 9?
March 6th, 9 o'clock, good.
9 o'clock, sounds good to me.
Motion to hold an executive Sorry. Meeting March 6th.
The motion o'clock. Well, March 2nd by David.
6th. March
6th.
March 6th.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Good. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Before I step down, I know one thing we tabled a couple meetings ago. Thing about Swanee. I know Swanee's kind of in a transitional period right now, so it's probably not something we even need to worry about right now.
Probably not.
Since Michelle left, I haven't heard from them, so I don't know where they are. But she was the one that was requesting it, and I know she's resigned. So
let's wait and see what this new manager and I'll tie us all together. And
if they want to come to this, this kind of affects them too, even though we don't provide for them, they have to follow these standards too.
We might invite their chairman of the board to this one also. It's probably a pretty good idea. But, Tanner, there's also some sworn to secrecy here with this. You can't just get out there and talk about your executive sessions, and everybody needs to understand that side of it also.
Yeah, everything is highly confidential. That's the reason the recording and all is preserved, but all of that is confidential. It is exempt from public records. It is what it is. I mean,
right.
You know, we're dealing with cyber warfare for, you know, trying to make it even more impressive to what it is. But that is what we're dealing with. And this is about the county government and how we're going to try to address any issues that might would affect us, that could cause a failure of our infrastructure, you know, jeopardize our personal data, those type of things is what, you know, is all under the umbrella of the cybersecurity. And all of that is what makes it fall under the confidential umbrella of being able to do it in an executive, private, confidential, whatever you want to use to kind of address. But it is all confidential. You cannot go out and say, hey, we talked about, you know, where the cameras are hanging or whatever. You know, all of this is type of stuff that would be confidential.
The one last thing on that is, since how we set this date, I guess you would notify all the constitutional officers, go ahead and do that and make sure that they can be here at March 6th at 9 o'clock and kind of give them a heads up instead of notifying them March 5th.
We have to make sure it's recorded in our team's market. We can't use the call-in record like we do because, of course,
I think you need to look, what's them things called, a stenographer? Yeah, we need to look at one of them too, and to make sure we can get one.
I can't. normally Flowers Girl? Flowers Girl?
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think she works the Third Circuit, or used to. I don't know if she still does.
I think so.
I think she does. I just always, yeah.
Merle
Flowers.
I know she works the Third Circuit, but.
Yep. Okay, I guess I'm good. Good. Yes, sir.
A few updates. Our station 4 on the Chafis is coming along. Ms. Stacy is expecting to be out of there by the 28th, and they create a punch list and finish that up and finish the building by March the 10th. Everything seems to be pretty much on track. Few issues with some fire pumps that shouldn't delay things. There's some back order somewhere on the ship. So they're coming. But other than that, the building's looking good. They put the cabinets in now. The appliances are in. It's coming along real good. All the paving's done. So that building should be ours within a month. And hopefully by the time I get back from vacation around the 1st of April, we'll be able to have an open house and move the crews in and get some furniture. Other things like that. It's coming along. The EOC is moving pretty rapidly now. Last 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, they put up all the studs inside. They put up most of the wiring runs, fire alarm runs, sprinkler systems are going in, AC duct works in, all the stud walls, everything's up. All the doors are in now. Lock hardware should be coming in this week, he hopes tomorrow, and by Monday or Tuesday, he said we should be able to secure the building if all goes well. Everything's moving along there pretty good right now. They're getting excited. They're all fixing to get new offices, and Tina's just going to get an office. but it's coming along. We're still a couple of months out on that one. I don't see any major delays right now. So the station property in Horseshoe Beach, we've been dealing with that company. Finally, last week, Ms. Chana and myself and the representatives there have gotten together. We've got them a copy of the contract. Final contract, they were supposed to have it signed yesterday, but the man that signed it's on vacation. So he'll be back Monday, and he said we should have a copy Monday of the signed contract. We'll need to get the chairman to sign that one when we get it in. Title search is being expedited as we speak and probably will be done in a day or two, I would think. Core samples, boring samples have all been done down there, so there's nothing holding us up there. As soon as that one comes in, we can get it in our hands. We've got 90 days to get the access road that we had discussed with the company put in. I've already talked to Mr. Crutch about that. So we'll be able to move that along pretty rapidly. The piece in the first district for Station 3 we purchased last week. I don't remember what day, Mr. Jody. I don't even remember what day it was. But we've got that secured contract to sign. I think the check's cut. We own the property. I would like the board's permission to go ahead and advertise for land clear. And for that, we need to clear about 3 of the 5 acres to be able to get the station in where we need it. I don't want to clear all of it. I want to leave a little buffer. So if the board's okay with that, as soon as we can get things settled, probably Monday, because I've been at work for 16 hours today, so I'm probably going home tomorrow. But Monday, we'll get that advertised, if that's okay, and try to get somebody who can get that done for us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. On the stations, that's about it. I don't think I missed anything.
Good.
Okay. Piece of information, Chief Ferguson just reminded me of. Y'all know we have a rural county day. I won't be there. I think Chief Cronin's planning on going. He and I will be there before that for the emergency management day at the Capitol. Following that, on April the 3rd is the Clark Fire Service Day. There, we will be there again. We've received a request from the Department of Health to have our community paramedicine, Ms. Allison, go down and set up a booth there. That came straight from the DOH state agency to us to ask her to go. So Chief Ferguson quietly asked her that she was going to, so she's preparing for that trip. But we'll be there then, so we'll be at all those events at the Capitol. We're going to try to meet with the senator and representatives as much as we can regarding our appropriation request to repave our parking lot there and anything else. I don't know what else we missed, and if you'll let us know, I'm trying to move that forward. That appropriation, we had about 50% of that request left over from the tanker from Station 4. So I think we'll be okay. It's about $500,000 above and beyond. So we should be good, I hope, but we'll see. Two weeks ago, myself and Chief Garner went to Taylor County to an economic development meeting. I've given the information to Mr. Jenkins. He may have talked to y'all. This is for some of the impacted areas. They have five times the amount of oil, and only due to the tune of about $1.9 billion. This money covers any type of economic development that you can think of. Basically, they told us we come up with a list sitting there of nine different projects, expanding the city sewer, city water department, water plant for the county, sewer plant for the county, rural hospitals. All of those things apply to this. Some of them are match grants, some of them are not. I don't really know that much in depth about it, but those opportunities are there. The applications are, give him some, we have some. So if there's something that the board wants to look at that might be an opportunity, they're begging for applications. It's a lot of money, they say. So I don't know where the board stands on those things, but it's kind of out of our wheelhouse. That's why I wanted to pass it on to the county manager and to y'all. So those things are there. I don't know the extent of the percentages, what will be covered, where, but it's something the board will look at. We'll be happy to sit down with any contacts and try to make it move. The other thing that I have, the biggest thing that I have today, I think it was today or either yesterday, we received information. Y'all are all aware that during the last storm and every year generally after storms, we get HMGP money, hazard mitigation grant monies. We've got quite a bit. That's some of what's helping with the different projects that we're doing right now to rebuild some of this stuff from the other hurricanes. I think we had around $10 million after Adelia. I don't know if anybody remembers. I think that was the number. We were just told that for Helene, Dixie County is going to be awarded. Stand by, because I don't remember the number. $23,253,000. One of the questions that the state has asked us, they have the Elevate Florida project where you can have homes raised or some reconstruction done to them depending on the percentages of damages. It appears, according to this number, we have 77 requests that have been submitted to the state. They don't come to us. Their question to us was, how much of that money did we want to put towards this program? Chief Garner and I discussed it. It's hard to tell how much it's going to cost to do these projects. We don't know what the projects are because they go to the state. We don't know how much it'll take to raise them, how much it'll take to rebuild them. So our first thought was to delegate about 50% of that. That's about $12 million. But I don't know where the board's at on that. We haven't had time to gather any more information, but I did want to make y'all aware of it. That'll leave some other monies left over, about $12 million left over there for other projects. So if the board has more mitigation projects, more seawalls, things of that sort, dredging roads, canals, things of that sort, those things will apply. You can't build new structures, can't build new facilities. It has to be to mitigate the current problem. So if you've got something that's flooding and you can raise it up, those types of things. That's what the mitigation portion of it is for. We have about $23 million available in Dixie County, gentlemen. So y'all start putting your wheels in gear, figure out where you're at. Chief Garner didn't come today. We've been up since 2 this morning with the fire and been at work all day. He's been to, I think, Gainesville and Lake City today, so he's tired. But we'll be in the office next week, and we'll sit down with anybody that wants to talk about it and see what ideas we can come up with, because we don't have a big list of projects that we can throw out there. We covered most everything that we knew of with the last storm. Now, I'm sure there's things to do, but we need to have some conversation with y'all individually, and I'm sure Mr. Jenkins will. This is going to fall more into his category. It's something his office really will be keeping up with, probably not ours, because it's kind of out of our wheelhouse. The requests go to the state, and those monies are there. So I just wanted to make y'all aware that that funding was there. I told somebody it was coming. We just didn't know when. We do have 2 more hurricanes outstanding. I'm sure we will get some money for those as well. Maybe not for Milton, since we didn't receive a direct impact on that one, but maybe Debbie, we might. As the dollar losses goes up throughout the state, those dollar amounts will come to us, go up through the state. So we may wind up with more than $23 million before it's over. I can't tell you that, but that's the way the program works, and usually it increases as those claims come in. So anything else from me?
Yeah. March 6th, which is our Thursday morning meeting. We got a 9 o'clock meeting that morning, a 10 o'clock board meeting. We want to do a workshop after that to discuss some of this stuff that you're talking about. Kind of get a list gathered up. Got to give people time to get out there and talk to you individually or meet you somewhere individually, and everybody come back together after the board meeting. What time do y'all want to set that for? 1 o'clock?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Are you all good with that?
Mm-hmm.
1 o'clock. Miss Barbie, can you post that one also? Clear.
1 o'clock workshop.
No.
No, sir.
Gail Carter. Well, I appreciate you coming. In case we needed you, you was here. That's what I was. What makes the difference? That's fair. Holly Holton. Angie Crowley. John Jenkins, County Manager.
I'm here.
You here?
Yes, sir.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, the first one I got is a question board approval to accept Sunshine Outdoor Services LLC as the lowest quote at $260 rate for the airport canal system, half a mile clean out south of Marvin Martin Road, based on the Stormwater Task Force recommendation.
Motion. Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Uh-huh.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Second one, I'm requesting board approval to accept Dixie Dragline Service LLC as the lowest quote at $165 an hour for the Hudson 19 area culvert installation based on the Stormwater Task Force recommendation.
Motion. Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
This is to replace those culverts that are going in Ronald Casting Place. We got, they was what, 50 foot by 50 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And those have been, those got delivered today. Getting everything ready. All right. Next one is request board approval to submit tax collector expansion fiscal year 2025 appropriations for design and engineering in the amount of $400,000.
Motion. Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor? All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Next one is I'm requesting board approval of amendment number 3 for additional funding for the design and construction of the new hangar buildings 134919-1-94-25 in the amount of $21,688.
That's yours, Mark. Well, what was it, over budget?
No.
What?
It's increasing the
budget. I know, it's a change order.
Oh, okay.
So why?
It's additional money.
Yeah, it's called a change order.
Yeah.
It's increasing it.
Yes.
Why?
Because of what they're doing out there with the ground.
We had to do
grouting.
Test bores and all that out there at the airport for they let us build the building, and the cost ran further than what was budgeted, so they're giving us more money to compensate for that.
Are they giving us more money for it?
Yeah, motion.
Motion.
Second.
By Mark. Second by Daniel. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Requesting board approval of resolution 2025-30 in support of amendment number 3 for additional funding for the new hangar buildings 434919-1-94-25 in the amount of $21,688.
Motion. Motion by David.
Second.
Second by Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
All right. Next one is requesting board approval of supplemental agreement number 5 for the time extension to June 30th, 2026 for Northeast 592nd Street from US 19 to Northeast 272 Avenue.
Motion.
Motion by Jamie.
Second.
Second by Daniel. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Same sign, motion carries.
Request board approval of resolution 2025-31 in support of supplemental agreement extension to June 30th, 2026 for Northeast 592nd Street from US 19 to Northeast 272 Avenue.
Motion. Motion by David.
Second
by Daniel. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign, motion carries.
All right, the next one I got is requesting board decision to secure a loan from Capital City Bank for the purchase of a knuckle boom loader for $298,005 and a Packer truck for $369,160.50 for the solid waste department and the total amount of $667,165.50. This loan can be prepaid at any time, and I've got three options. We've got a three-year term at 5.10%, five-year term at 5.35%, and a seven-year term at 5.60%.
Most
and they can be made in annual and or quarterly payments.
Brenda, which is the best?
Yeah, what's the recommendations there?
What was your motion, Dave?
For the 3 year.
Motion for the 3 year. For the second.
I should have asked you.
Last one. We did the last one for five, didn't we, on the last Packer truck? Yeah.
Okay.
It made the payment a little bit lower.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make a motion for 5 years.
A motion for five.
Second. But now let's discuss. Brenda, do you want
second.
To
second. Mark, I'm in discussion.
Annually or quarterly, how do you want to?
Annual.
Annual.
Okay. You want to add that in your motion, David?
Yeah. Annually.
And I'll second it in David's added.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
All right, Sam, I told you.
There you go.
I told you.
Hey,
I'd get it, but I'll try.
Is there any of that junk that out there that's got any value to it that we can get rid of? We don't want to hold that stuff out there and grow weeds in it. 2011, the Packer truck mini you talked about. Need to get all the value out of that we can. And that knuckle boom, if there's anybody wants a really good leaking knuckle boom loader, we've got one for sale. Seriously, any of that we can get rid of to put toward this to help Brenda pay this payment.
Yes.
Do it. So we don't need to hold it.
Set it for junk or whatever.
More value to junk price, I believe.
Well, you said that old pack.
Alabama truck, they call it the old green one.
Yeah.
I mean, but also we got it from the truck, so we can't get rid of it. And it's just I mean, it just sat there. It does nothing. I mean, we put a lot of money into it, but, I mean, you put money into it, then it breaks down, and you just put more money into it.
Look at your inventory out there. Any of that stuff we can get rid of, if there's a value to it, we need to put that toward the principle of what we're buying instead of letting it just grow weeds through it.
We can plus it out and have an auction.
Yep.
Let's see if we can sell it outright first, because last time we sold a building, all it needed was batteries.
Yeah. Don't revive the batteries.
Not for auction.
That was one of our own that done that to us.
Yeah.
Change based on value. So it's kind of like if it's $5, we don't have to go to an auction. $500,000, we're going to have a different conversation. So it's kind of hard for me to tell you. Once we look at it and we can determine, hey, you know, this got $50,000 worth of value, I can tell you what we need to do for a $50,000 piece of equipment. If it's $5,000, then there's just different thresholds as to what we have.
So we need to find out what our values is and what we need to do to stay within the law, of course.
Exactly. That's what I want to make sure of, is that.
You have the idea of what they're worth?
No, but he needs to find out.
Can NADA, NADA or Kenny Blue, probably can't we? Got the Packer truck, see what the suggestion is, what's worth. Kirk, you want to buy a Packer truck?
Yeah, I mean, City will come by it. We had that old white truck motor blowed up in, and I mean, somebody bought it. You know, it always people out there want to buy.
Get rid of some of this stuff. If it's got any value to it, we need to put it toward new equipment.
Yeah. Because that's going to make payments.
Don't make a loan agreement. Let everybody know they're going to buy some stuff. All right. Next, I got information out of us. Remind everyone that we got a meeting with the Horseshoe Beach Town Council at 6 p.m. on Monday, February 24th at the City Hall in Horseshoe to discuss county and city operations and that meeting. And, Mr. J.D., I'm sure you noticed, but we've got the culvert repaired. Going in the Horseshoe, did it yesterday. It's been repaired. Daniel, East 82nd Avenue, they're waiting on AT&T to move that darn cable. They said they have an order special type of cable. What they're telling us, so we're in limbo on that. East 592nd Avenue, there for start on March the 3rd. And I said that about the roof.
At all. Are you done?
I'll just make sure Daniel was.
I'm good, man.
Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm saying good.
It's taking them stern long to do it.
Yeah.
I hope it don't take them as long.
Maybe they can do it before I need to be reelected.
No, it won't take them as long as it is. We've been working on these two little side streets up here in town. So, hey.
I know. That's been years.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be long. We've got to redid it.
Also,
as long as it gets done.
Cross City cleanup Saturday morning, and it's what, 9 to 30, Kurt?
Yeah. Correct.
9 to 30.
And yes. Kurt's buying biscuits and Pepsi for everybody.
Y'all have a dumpster. We need one.
We'll need to get him one.
It's supposed to be.
You got one?
Tim, you got it? You got it? Handle?
I got it. Kurt was
already
there.
Where's he beating
at? Did he hold it? And that's all I have,
Jim. Thank you, sir. Shayla?
Now the code enforcement. still working on the one we talked about last meeting. No, we're happy with that, but working with that, so I'll keep y'all updated whether or not they, how much more space they make.
They only been happy with it. We cut it quite a bit of some.
Yeah, I thought it was reasonable. Like I said, but anyway, I'll deal with that until I can't deal with it, and I'll bring it back to y'all. There is another one. I've talked to Mr. Leon about this one. This is one. That's the Tick Road, right, Leon?
Yes.
Yeah. This is our Tick Road property that we've had each heartburn over for roughly probably 5 or 6 years. This is one the property owner transferred it to a girlfriend's daughter, tried to avoid the code enforcement case. We have been before the magistrate. We've been before the judge.
And this one on Tick Road?
This on Tick Road. The property owner now is selling the property or wanting to sell the property, and the title company has reached out to us wanting to know how much the fines were. I said, well, fines have been running for about 5 or 6 years now at $500 a day. I don't think the property will bring that much. So I asked Mr. Leon what he had in it.
Yeah.
Like y'all did last time. And I think you told me around $10,000, Mr. Leon.
That's even cutting it down. How much did we say you was paying for that truck a while ago?
$42,000.
At least we can get a truck out of it or something.
Well, no, let's talk about this. This is a road on
Steve's one's got all the time, and he's pouring it.
1 acre on Tick Road, I think.
It went to court twice, so I don't know how much the county attorney put into it also because we took it back for a foreclosure. So I don't know how much other money got spent on it.
That's right. I mean, we've got quite a bit in it. When I did kind of let them know, they said, there might be an issue.
My understanding is selling for around $8,500.
$8,500? They might go to us then.
So, well, that's the reason I'm bringing it before this board. Is that's where I'm at as far as I'm looking at what Mr. Leon said, you know, there. I'm looking and make it even better to inform me that there was also another lien against the property from a bondsman in the nature of around $2,500. So, no, it is still not cleaned up.
The first or second lien holder on that?
I haven't verified that yet because it's kind of like tit for tat at this point, if, you know, as far as either where we at. I don't know. Don't know that the seller will sell it if they can't get any money. Not my problem, that obviously I'm bringing it to y'all.
We shouldn't back down, but
this is where we're at with that property. We do have someone interested. I don't know if they went and talked to you. Did you have someone talk to you? Okay.
Well, we at least need to get back what the taxpayers has put into it, try to get it cleaned up, regardless.
And it's still...
That's the whole purpose of filing a lien and all that stuff and doing it all in a legitimate way, trying to get them to do it right. And if they don't do it right, then the taxpayer should be recouped what they've got invested in.
I'll stand firm on what we have said. I have no issue with that. I just needed to make sure the board was good with me sticking with the $10,000 that Mr. Leon said he feels is legally justifiable. I mean, we've got the fines is...
Here five different times.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They've already juked us one time on there with changing property owners, so we had to start this case all over again. I say leave it at $500 a day. That's our rule. I ain't budging off of it. Y'all can change it if you want to.
Stay with it.
Steve, didn't you need a new truck too?
We need a new truck, or we need a vacant piece of property we can sell on the courthouse steps and put it back on the tax roll.
That's true.
We can beat this horse all we can beat it. This is the second time it's gone to court, so to heck with it. We put teeth in there, so stop taking them out.
And I do feel like, and I'm, you know, they make her pay them, but I don't think they've paid the taxes yet. So
hell no, they ain't paid the taxes. They ain't paid the bail money nor us.
I can probably at some point go for a tax deed sale.
No power, no water. I got $700,000 worth of trucks in Texas with this one.
There's one thing I can say about this piece of property. They have never made one effort to
clean it up.
Correct it, clean it. Actually, they went worse twice. Had to go out there and get them to move the campers off the county right away and get the lease back on to their property.
$500 a day.
They have not cooperated at all.
That's mine. Y'all figure what you want to do.
I'm good with it.
I'm good with that.
$500 a day.
Yep.
I need to pay them or give it to us.
Hammer them.
I will relay it and they can go where they need to go from there.
Yeah.
I believe this new purchaser might not be interested at that price, but...
Well, he's still accumulating $500 a day.
Well, it's getting worse.
All right, that's all I had, Jim.
Well, I think if that doesn't go through, at that type of money, it's probably already exceeded the value of the property. We need to seek foreclosure.
You're damn right.
There you go.
Well, that was supposed to be in the rule also.
Yep.
Okay, John. Anything else, Shana?
No, sir, that's all. Thanks.
Miss Barbie?
I do not have anything tonight.
You got nothing? County Commissioner comments, Daniel.
Nope, I don't think we've covered everything I had wrote down in one way or another. So
I'm good at this point.
Mark?
Just two little quick items. I apologize about missing the last board meeting. I hate missing meetings. I take a lot of pride in not missing meetings. But we had a really good meeting with Brown & Brown. We got Lafayette County is going to give us some really good information about their services. They've been in that For 14, was it 14 years or so, John? They've been using them. So we're gonna continue digging that. We've sent some information to them, and just to get some comparables. And if we're good where we're at, we're good where we're at. But one of our concerns, me and John, when we talked to them, and was disruption. We don't want no disruption, and they can run a disruption survey out there to see if Jody can still go to his doctor, because when you change insurance companies, that's one of the biggest things that we'll fight, is we all have doctors and we all want to continue using our doctors. So it's just something we're looking at. As Brenda can allude to this, insurance is one of our biggest expenses besides employees. And if we didn't have no employees, we wouldn't need insurance. So they go hand in hand. So really good meeting, and apologize for missing it. But the second thing I got a public announcement. The dock down at Mr. Jim Ward's is temporarily closed for repair. And Mr. Ward, we thank you for all the use and the citizens' use of that dock. And we truly appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
So that's all I have.
David? Yes.
I want to thank Ms. Sarah Ross and Ms. Carly McKinney for standing up for our citizens. Their heart goes to those citizens, and I really appreciate y'all. Even though Carly got verbally assaulted at her workplace, was really uncalled for by that bunch, I just, from my heart, I really appreciate everything y'all do for our citizens. Thank you. And hopefully pretty soon, just as soon as we get the materials to finish defect down there, we'll start our movie nights for the kids and get some kind of normalcy back.
And that's all I have.
I just want to thank everyone for showing up and supporting us. Thank you for the calls, concerns, calls without y'all's input. You know, that's what we're up here for. We're up here for y'all, for our county. We all got to do this together. And I hope we make y'all proud. Thank y'all.
I think we had a good meeting, all in all, through everything that went on. I do want to say that I appreciate everyone's comments on everything that went on. I do think that some sides of our matters was missed. On the Gina thing, I mean, you talking about that was a created job. When I got elected, you wanted me to bring jobs to the county. That would bring jobs to the county. Y'all want ambulance and Gina. Y'all want, that would help get you an ambulance and Gina. All those things that would could have been a positive was made a negative. But anyway, that we're going to stand behind what the citizens want. But we still need to get the tax flow coming in here, folks, because we're going to have to tighten our build up extremely tight this upcoming year. We'll be all right through this one, but the next is coming. Barbie, probably tell you we gonna be tight, and just keep that in mind. And appreciate everybody adopting to the new, going to the podium, not showing out so much, trying to go a different way, get everything run like it's supposed to be run. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Public comment.
You didn't fill out no slip, but I'll let you come up here anyway.
Jody Noble, Horseshoe Beach. Mr. Darren, don't leave yet. You might. I'm guilty.
I thought you were talking. I'm sorry.
Okay. There's some county-owned properties, the roads 351 of County Park and stuff in Horseshoe Beach. And I'm just asking, and for clarification, what items down there have been added to Helene's FEMA DI list so we can kind of collaborate, make sure that the county's getting the covered repairs down there that's damaged.
Yeah. March 6th, we'll kind of discuss it, our Monday meeting, also when we're down there. You and John, I think y'all putting a little agenda together. John and my
Mr. Jeff sent me an agenda. He called me yesterday. And we got an agenda with everything, all these topics on it.
Okay. So,
got it Monday.
Working on that, JD, not cut short, but that is a
yes.
That's one of the parts. Butler
So this, and this is good. This is an abelia damage. There probably was some more damage during Helene. Want to make sure the county gets that covered under a FEMA claim. And
most
of course, you know, 351's in pretty bad shape down there. And just want to make sure that y'all got that on there and just for everybody's use. Thank you.
Darren, you going to have Scott down there with us at that?
I wasn't planning on going, but yes, we'll be there.
We need Scott for sure.
Anybody else?
Barry Johnson, I live on Notorious Tick Road, which y'all were talking about. The guy has cleaned up a little bit. He took two travel trailers apart.
Here we go, made a mess.
Made a bigger mess. The people that used to live in with a built-up wooden bathroom, catch-all, whatever, it's just off to one side because he took the blocks out from under me. Do I understand now it's going to go into foreclosure and the county will own it?
Not exactly.
That's what we're shooting for.
To foreclose it, we have to go
at some point.
At some point. I mean, you can't go there and negotiate. Like that. We got $500 a day for a reason. But the problem is that I see is our $500 a day exceeds the value of the property. So we need to somewhere or another go to where we can take.
Well, it's 0.7 acres.
Yes.
So at the going rate, it's less than $7,000
right.
of property value.
Right.
That's less than a month.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's that good.
We're on the same page there.
And now, that's in. The wheels are turning slowly, but it's turning. Right across the street,
you gotta know.
There's another rat hole. It's got a truck and a car that's been sitting there for 2 years. Now they pulled another trail on the lot, and somebody's living in that. A piece of crap, a grain trailer that looks like you could kick it and it would fall down. Nobody's been living in that for 5 years. She's living in her travel trailer underneath the barn, looks like. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, they had a fifth wheel in the back. It caught on fire. Fire department came out and put the thing out, but they were trying to find septic for some reason. They didn't find septic, but they found about a half a dozen 55-gallon drums filled with human excrement.
Well, get with Steve on this.
On the sewer or the septic tank, that's the health department.
Yeah, but you can direct, you can handle, you
but now,
yeah.
If somebody's got to come file a complaint in my office and sign it, then I can go after that other problem.
You got one on you?
No, I don't have one.
I got an idea. Why don't all you homeowners in there try to come together and buy all that and get that crap out of there?
Oh, they have $500
a day. If they would buy it, then maybe we could relieve them of that. We got to get it first.
You got to get one of
those. Got to get it.
I got a couple bucks in my pocket. Have you seen that crap?
Yes, sir. I've seen it.
Hey, that's the start.
What else?
We thought about doing a few things, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably what you were saying, that wasn't one over.
Frame of mind.
We ain't seen nothing, we ain't heard nothing.
Anybody else? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. Jamie. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Same sign. Motion carries.
Come here, Hutch.
I can't believe you lay up the sign on his damn paper. Hi,
Chairman.
People like to wait. I got pissed.